Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of three kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is the Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 61 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. I want to say happy birthday because I feel like when this show airs, it's going to be really close. Like, not on your birthday, but right around
the day
there.
Before my birthday. I think this will go live.
Oh, yeah. So, happy birthday.
Thank you. And in our characteristic style of coming up with what we're going to talk about, like, 10 minutes before we start, you came up with a genius idea for a summer day when neither one of us was probably thinking all that clearly.
Yeah, a light and fun summer podcast topic. I think I might have thought of it on the treadmill, actually. So I'm calling this episode 8 Kids, Toddler to Teen, which is what we always say in all of our, anywhere you read anything about
promotional
us.
Promotional materials.
Yes, our promotional materials. Between us, we have 8 kids, toddler to teen. And so today I literally have a hat with me with folded up pieces of paper in it. And I am going to pull our kids' ages, a number out of a hat. And we're just going to riff and free associate on that age for a few minutes per each of our kids' ages. Now, I think the fun part here is that you've had, say we pull a 7-year-old, you've had 5 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
I've had, you know, 1 so far. But I think we're going to try and make it kind of like what we universally love and kind of notice about each of these ages. We get a lot of feedback from listeners that you guys, even with little babies and toddlers, you like this peek ahead into older kids and teenagers and what's coming up next. So this kind of gives us a way to give you a picture of a bunch of different, 8 different age groups, toddler to teen, and not only what our kids are like who are that age right now, but also just what we generally observe. So I think it'll be fun. Plus, I get to pull things out of a hat.
I mean, that's the whole point of you've been waiting for that moment, that moment this entire time. I have to be very honest and say that I forget stages very quickly. So
yes.
If I am stymied by, you know, like a violet situation,
yes. I have plenty to say about 3-year-olds.
All right.
I think it comes back to you more than you think.
You're probably right.
We do
you're
have a 6, 7, and 8-year-old between us.
Yeah,
so
if
we struggle to differentiate there, we'll just see how this goes. We're just basically going to chat about our kids for the next 40 minutes and see how it goes. Quickly, though, real quick housekeeping. Wanted to point people's attention to the interview shows we've been doing because that was a new thing for us starting this spring. So if you're a regular listener, hopefully you know that we are in your ears once a week, just Megan and I chatting in this format. But then we have started doing 1 show a month where one of us interviews someone, an author, a parenting person, an interesting person we think you should hear from. So we're really just getting that off the ground. By the time this show airs, we should have our 3rd one published, which is your interview with author Melody Warnick. So
yeah,
if you haven't caught... you guys haven't caught any of those shows, I would love to hear what people think. And if you guys have ideas for the types of people you'd like to hear us interview, I'd love to know that too. So you can find all those at themomhour.com. They're right in line with the rest of our list of shows. And yeah, if you have ideas, email us hello@themomhour.com.
Shall we do it? Are you going to
reaching into the literal
You're
hat.
Reaching into the hat. Wait, okay. You have to describe this hat to me.
Okay.
What kind of, is it like a beanie?
Nope, it's a boy's baseball cap that says Italia on it, like an Italian.
I kind of wish I hadn't asked because I was kind of picturing like a top hat.
That would be awesome.
Like a magician's top hat.
I do have like one of those, but I wasn't that clever. Okay.
That's okay. All right. We'll imagine it's a, and there's a rabbit in there too. Okay,
there's
pull it.
A rabbit. The first one is 7.
Oh, 7,
which I'll turn it over to you because you have a 7-year-old. And I'll prompt you with this question, which is Clara is 7, your youngest, but all 4 of your other 7-year-olds were boys. So, you know, without getting into full boy-girl analysis, I'm sure there's just some natural differences you've noticed in this 7-year-old. So what is 7 like for you guys right now?
So I will the universal 7 experience I've had is that it's this weird, I mean, this is going to sound dumb because an age is always a bridge between another age and another age, you know, but I felt like for my kids, 8 was when they truly entered big kid territory, and 6, they're still kind of solidly little kids, and 7 is this really interesting bridge. It's also the first age I clearly remember. Like, I have very clear memories of being seven, really clear memories of being seven. I think everything before seven is kind of like snippets of memories for me, but not like narrative where I remember, you know.
Yeah, I would say the same,
like,
for me.
Where, you know, where I sat in school and like what my whole days were like. Like, I can remember entire days of being seven, and I don't have that experience for younger than that. So I will say Clara is very articulate now. She's just very, it's kind of like she's shedding her baby and leaving, you know, she finally lost and got back in all of her front teeth. So now she looks completely different than she did at six. And she's like a little more concerned with things like fairness and just things that I don't like the big picture stuff that I don't really think she thought too much about when she was six and five and four. She's not thinking about a lot. So that's a little bit interesting. As far as her, as opposed to the boys, I think this is not going to be a big surprise. Anybody who talks about boy-girl differences, that she's very involved in social discussions, like right now, like who likes who and who's friends with who. And there's a lot more drama at her age than I remember with most of the boys. She's just a little more mature. You know, at that age, the boys were still running up to each other and, like, you know, smacking each other in the head and falling down and
running into walls on purpose.
Yeah, they were just being generally really goofy. I remember this being a very goofy age for the boys. And for Clara, you know, she's kind of like a mini teenager. She's really kind of self-possessed and kind of concerned about how she might seem to other people, which is kind of, I don't know, a little alarming to me. Just a quick story. When we were on our trip, I don't remember if I in our episode that I shared that there was a day where she got bitten in the face by a mangy motel dog.
No, you told me this. You texted me this, but you have not talked about it on the podcast.
So she got bitten in the face by a mangy motel dog. Well, she was fine. There was no wound or anything, but she was freaked out. And then later that same day, she ran like full force into a sliding glass door. Aww. Just dumb accident. She didn't see that it had been open and she didn't see it close. And she turned around and just like, I can't believe she didn't end up in the ER. So that was a very bad day for Clara. But, as you know, the first she hit the door, laid herself out, and I'm like, oh no, she broke her nose, something, there's going to be blood, there will be blood. And I grabbed her and picked her up and kind of tilted her head back a little bit, expecting blood. And instead, you know, she did cry a little bit, but then she was so worried about how she looked. She was like, I'm gonna look so stupid, everyone's gonna make fun of me, I'm so embarrassed. And I was just thinking, I remember thinking none of the boys would have been, they would have been crying because they were in pain. They would not even have thought, given a second thought to what anyone else might have thought about their clumsiness or anything. So some of that's just her, you know, she's a little more anxious, but a lot, I have to think some of that is just that she's thinking about how she looks to the world in a different way than the boys did.
And no, more socially aware.
Whether that's culturally, you know, social conditioning or biological, who knows, probably a little bit of both. But seven.
I loved
it. What was your seven?
Well, I'm going to probably just be super short because I have a 6 and an 8-year-old, so I don't want to repeat myself too much. I totally agree with what you said about 6 being still baby, 8 being, wow, we have 2 feet in big kid. So I'll speak to those when we draw those numbers. But when I think of 7-year-olds, I think of jacked up teeth because they all, whether you're late to lose teeth, my kids are a little bit on the later side, or early, 7 is like this perfect age where even the late comers have started to lose some teeth. The early teeth losers have all kinds of weird teeth coming in. And so like a first grade classroom, second grade too, but like a first grade classroom is basically like 30 kids with hilarious smiles. That's one of my favorite things about 7.
And Clara right now has one front tooth that's enormous, and my kids' teeth are all huge. And the other one is like only half grown in and is growing in really slowly. So she's got that look where it's like, it does not match up, and it's very funny.
It's awesome. It's
and
awesome.
Charming.
Yes, it's adorable. So I'm just going to leave it there because we're going to talk about some similar ages. So are you ready for the next number?
I am ready.
All right. The number is...
These are like legitimate scraps of paper. I love it.
Yeah. I'll take a picture for the show notes. This number is 3. I have a 3-year-old, so I can start. Oh, 3. You know, the whole 3-nager thing like has become like a meme and a hashtag in the last few years because I think it's mostly justified. I always tell moms of toddlers that the first wave of terrible twos is really like 18 to 24 months, which is like a big burst of personality and, you know, some defiance and like verbal explosion. And people are like, oh my gosh, terrible twos are coming early. Well, I think it's usually it's right on track at like 18 months. And then 2 almost kind of settles down, and then three, not every three-year-old is a handful, but I think three is really challenging for parents.
Yeah,
it's probably challenging to be a three-year-old also. So I guess my three-year-old right now is the youngest. So she is constantly trying to be a big kid and keep up, which is frustrating and hard for her. She's a really fun three-year-old. She's always been a handful actually through all of her ages, which makes it kind of easy. Like I never felt like, oh,
there's
now
there's
she's
no surprise.
A teenager. Yeah. She's strong-willed, which is awesome. But I do think, three is really fun for language and, being able, I mean, my kids all were pretty early talkers, but you know, for a long time, you understand your kid and your kid understands you, but people out in the world barely know your toddler can talk. You could have a full conversation with a two-year-old and they have little sentences and, but the pronunciation isn't there. And three-year-olds, it's really fun to see them start to talk to other people, talk to other kids. I always remember that moment where my kid will have a conversation with another kid and they actually understand each other because for so long, you know, you've been communicating with your little toddler, but it's kind of your own conversation. So it's really fun verbally. I love language development and it's really fun. And I feel like they start to learn to sing and rhyme and kind of play with language. That's really fun. What else about three? Yeah, Violet is my most independent three-year-old for sure because of having the big kids. I mean, she can get herself dressed. She, you know, she's just, you turn around and she's done something that the bigger kids would never have thought to do, clear her plate. It could be good or bad,
right?
In a good way or a bad way. But, so that's really fun to see her like emulate them and actually want to do big kid things. At the same time, she's the baby. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, you don't need to always, you know, brush your own hair. I could do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I was going to say the thing when you were saying about three-nagers. I always feel like three is the age when they suddenly look around and go, hey, wait, I'm a person too, darn it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what about me? What about my independence? Like, what about my agenda? It's like they get an agenda all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I feel like with two-year-olds, you can kind of like, I don't know, you can trick them a little bit easier.
Definitely.
You can kind of just humor them a little or buy time. And I feel like suddenly at three-year-old, they get a little wise. And they know better.
Yes, they get wise. And I will say, like, in terms of meltdowns and tantrums, it's a very different thing than like an 18-month to 2-year-old tantrum, because they really get like super hung up. I always kind of said 3-year-olds are mental patients, which is not a nice way to say it, but they're like, their minds are too big for their logic. So they can get a little obsessive, like truly a little. So, and then at the same time, they've made these leaps in independence. So you look at them, be like, why is this such a big deal? Like, and so it is a constant challenge to, I think, remember that they are three. And that it is hard to be three. And for all of their now talking and independence and going off to preschool, that they really still need help just like getting through the day sometimes. So I don't know. Yeah. Three is.
The other thing I always associate with a three-year-old, like you were saying, is their little voices and the way they talk.
Yes.
And Violet's a great example of that with the videos you put on Instagram. Yeah. Everyone should follow Powers of Mine on Instagram. But I love it when I'm, you know, on a walk or at the store and you can just pick out a three-year-old the way they talk. It's adorable. They're just, they always have this widow voice and it kind of goes up like this. And there's always that little lisp and the widow, they can't say no L's and no O's.
It's so funny. It's the L's, the specific speech things have been different with each of my kids. Allegra had a whole bunch of sounds missing for a long time until she was like 4 or 4 and a half, but it was all L's and R's and G's. But Violet has the straight up lisp and it's so cute. Like I honestly hope it never goes away. It's so cute.
When Owen was three, he actually had this very deep, strangely deep voice, but he also had a widow wisp, which, by the way, he still kind of has a tiny lisp. Like you can just, like when he's tired, sometimes it kind of comes out a little bit. And I just, but he would talk like this and he had a widow wisp. It was just.
That is awesome. That is awesome. That. Okay. Well, yay three. If you have a three-year-old out there, I'm right there with you. Okay. Next. Piece of paper says 16. Oh, I love that we're just skipping right to it. 16.
Oh, 16. That's me.
Yeah. I was like, did I?
Oh, my God. For a second, I was actually just sitting here like, uh-huh. So who's going to talk about 16? Good Lord. Hey, I have a 16-year-old.
You do.
Why does Tell that? Us. You know, I also have an 18-year-old, but for some reason, 16 just feels so momentous.
You're like, who, me? I don't know.
Who, me? What? Well, first of all, there's a lot of cultural significance given to 16, right? Like sweet 16. I don't know. There's something about 16 driving. It just all seems very kind of, that seems like the biggest milestone age to me that happens in the teens, besides maybe 18. And I have to say, I think maybe 16 even felt like a bigger milestone to me than 18, even though 18 is adulthood. So anyway, yes, I have a 16-year-old. Gosh, this is a tough one because I've had two and they were both different, very different.
Interesting.
And
how about like independent, like, you know, like kind of being adulty, like in life? Does that happen around 16?
You know what it was? Here's what I would say. I would say at 16 was, and they kind of started to decide what kind of adult type person they were going to be.
Interesting.
I think that they both kind of made conscious choices at that age to start moving in a certain direction or another. And I won't say which one went in which direction, but I'll just say, like, I think one of my teens decided at 16, like, it's time to buckle down, time to start taking stuff seriously. And the other one was like, I don't really care about this. It's time for me to think of something completely different.
Right.
Definitely personality starts coming out. Like Isaac this year, I feel like he's a very quiet kid. So he's reserved. It's hard to get to know him, but I feel like this has been a big year for his personality. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, he seems like he's become his own person. He started playing the guitar. He's really interested in having like conversations about certain musicians and stuff. And that's all things like, I feel like it just took him to this age to become that sure of who he is or that much of himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
This is a dumb question, but how like relative to their like manly size, like in terms of height and growing, do you feel like there's been a growth spurt? Is the growth spurt more early, like 14, like eighth grade year, or are they like, what do they look like at 16? It's so dumb.
They look like huge beasts. Men. Isaac has gotten so tall. They're both wearing like size 10 shoes. The weird thing is they're both way taller than either John or I. So there must be someplace like, you know, some height gene on one side of the family or the other that they both got. And it's been pretty steady. But this year, Isaac just filled out and looks like a real legitimate young man.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that, you know, 13 to 15 is a little gawky. And kids, sometimes that's when you still have like little, like a 15-year-old boy sometimes still just looks like a little chipmunk, you know.
Yeah.
And 16, they seem to just be gangly and tall. I mean, I'm speaking for my own. They're kind of unusual. They are teenagers of unusual size in our family, as our family goes. But yeah, they kind of look like the people they're going to be. They don't have that baby look anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I remember that being the case for me at 16 as well. That was when I really just kind of looked. I looked basically the same at 25 as I looked at 16.
Yeah. So, same with me.
You know.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that is one of those that really your miles will vary a lot because there's so much behind them by that point.
Yes.
That's led them to where they are, you know?
Yeah.
So, but in general, I think 16 is when they just kind of become, they just become like, you know, we call them man cubs.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, at that age.
I had two of them. Oh my gosh. Yeah, all right.
I know.
I'm reaching in.
All right. This six. Time I won't be surprised if it's one of mine. No, it's not one of mine.
you have had 5 6-year-olds. You're done. Okay. Well, I've had I have a 6-year-old right now. Reed he just turned 6. So he's a young 6. I am going to echo what you said earlier about 6 kind of being the tail end of some of those baby years and that 7 being a transition. I think 6 is kindergarten to me. I mean, wherever your kid falls in the age breakdown. But I don't know. They just still seem really little. I think, I'm having trouble with this one. I think 5 seems to be a big spurt of intelligence and independence. And so 6 is maybe just like continuing to develop those things. I don't know. Do you have anything on 6?
Yeah, no, I totally agree that 6 is still... They're still little.
They're still little.
You go into a kindergarten classroom, those are babies.
They're babies.
You know, they're
still, I've had 6-year-olds who still have potty accidents once in a while, like not, you know, not every day. 6-year-olds cry when they, you know, break something or drop something or are disappointed. And I think those are pretty normal. If you think about kids starting school and all of a sudden being lumped into these elementary ages, they almost maybe go back to being a baby again because if they're in a traditional school, they're now around everybody older than them. So I totally agree. Those of you listening who have a 1 and a 3-year-old, 6 seems huge. But I think with our perspective And especially with what we've said about 7 and 8, or we'll say about 8, 6, they seem little. Kindergartners are babies.
You know, the danger, I think, and I'll go on a little bit of a soapbox vent yes. here, is that personally and also on a maybe policy or society level, we expect a lot of 6-year-olds. It's not yeah. really fair.
Yeah.
You know, I've really seen that. And I know people will talk about how academic kindergarten has become almost like a cliche to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's, I find it, you know, around here, they did away with half day kindergarten. And there's a lot of reasons for that I understand. Logistically, it made no sense to have half day.
Yeah.
More and more parents work. Where were the kids going to go? Right. They needed, you know, there's the requirement that you have a certain number of education hours anyway. It's like, I see, and they were worried that kids weren't going to come into first grade prepared. But I think at that age, it's a lot to expect that adding more hours means they're learning more. It's right. just, there's something is lost, I think, for that age now. And yeah. I mean, it's the cliche to talk about kindergarten being about naps and playing with those enormous blocks.
Yeah.
Remember those enormous blocks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When we were kids, like snack time and stuff. But it's true to me. Like, I do have a real, I have a real nostalgia for that kind of slow introduction mm-hmm. that I don't think kids get anymore. And then I think it trickles down because now they have so much expectation of them at school.
Yeah.
We forget that they're still babies. They're still little.
Yes.
They're bridging the gap between preschool and real school. So.
And there's some skills. I mean, reading is such a wide, you have kids reading at 3 and kids reading at 8.
Yeah.
But because of what you're saying, there's a lot of focus on reading or pre-reading at 6. And that is like super hard work for anyone's brain. So yeah, I agree. Yeah. I almost feel like there's a lot expected of 6. And when you zoom out and realize how much they're dealing with, they are still need to give them a cut 6 a break.
Yeah. I think it's okay to baby your 6-year-old. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe me, they're not going to get it anywhere else.
No. And especially with what we've seen in the couple years that follow, I feel like whatever your 6-year-old is doing that feels, you know, whether they're wetting the bed or having tantrums or, you know, like 7 and 8 is like such a huge move out of those phases that it just won't last. Oh, that's interesting.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to 18. I do not have an 18-year-old. This is you.
Isn't this funny how this is going back and forth?
Yeah.
It's almost like you're.
No, I'm not. I'm not rigging it. I'm going.
This whole episode is rigged.
It's rigged.
No, it's not. It's not. But okay. 18. God. Well, I've only have one, you know, I've only done one 18-year-old. So that's, and he's my most unusual child.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell you a quick
story. Lob me a softball question.
Well, I'm just going to tell you something about when I turned 18, since I don't have an 18-year-old child, is I had a pretty significant, I would say, regression in maturity around the time I turned 18. Now, that's partially because I was a super responsible kid and teenager. And for some reason got to like second semester senior year and just felt like I, you know, deserved to cut loose a little bit. And I rebelled a little bit more. It's still me. I mean, we're still talking in Sarah terms, but I also kind of messed up some friendships and did some things that weren't very nice, which I had always just had really solid friendships and not had a lot of girl drama. So without going into details, I will say that I kind of progressed in a traditional like upward trajectory maturity wise. And then I like fell apart a little bit like second semester senior year. And I hurt some feelings. Rebelled
well,
a little bit.
Well, that's interesting.
So, I don't know.
My experience is really different from Jacob's in that he turned 18 the third month of his senior year. And that's definitely true. He academically really kind of fell off the face of the earth this year. Some of it was because he felt like, well, now I'm 18, I can do whatever I want. But like the maturity hadn't caught up with the age yet. And I don't know, maybe some of it's regressing. Maybe some of it was realizing he's coming up on the end of something and trying to cling a little bit or whatever. So I have high hopes for 19 for him. For me, I graduated high school at 16. So I didn't even turn
18. I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot that you're young and you skipped a year.
I was so I waited a year before I went to college. So between high school and college, I worked and just kind of did life, I guess. And then by the time I went to college, it was like a month after I turned 18. And I feel like I didn't really do great in college, but I feel like it was that first time around. But I was pretty settled. I don't know. Like, I feel like personally I was fairly settled. Like, I just kind of knew, you know, I don't know. Not like I knew what I was doing exactly. That's not true. I was still fairly immature, but I don't know. I see a big difference. I knew how to do stuff. That's, I guess, what I'm getting at. Because yeah. I'd been out of school. I mean, I'd been living at home, but I'd been working and, like, getting myself to work and, like, dealing with my own schedule and not having other people's schedules right. imposed on me for a whole year by that point. So,
do you see any, yeah. like we were talking about culturally, what kindergarten looks like now? Do you see in your, because you're around more parents of teenagers now, do you see, like, some of the things we hear about on the news, like, kids are either being coddled all the way through high school or, yeah. I mean, do you have any, like,
I think it's
general
both.
Observations? Yeah.
You know what it is? I think there's huge expectations on them
right.
that there were not on us, but at the right. same time, they're coddled in other ways. So,
interesting.
Like, they're not yeah. really expected to pay for their own car insurance or whatever right. often. I mean, they're not really expected to have that, those kind of life skills, but they're expected to be able to, you know, create a college resume and ace tests and,
right. and
I
volunteer
was in that play and, yeah. and volunteer and do all that stuff. So I was on the play that I was in the fall, there was a bunch of teenagers in it. And, there were some stressed out kids, man, like, and they're kicking butt at school.
Yeah.
But I'm a little worried, like, what's going to yeah. happen when it's just regular life and it's not, yeah. you're not getting your, you know, your value or your worth or whatever isn't determined by the grade you get right. or the test score you get. Because yeah. now no one that's all over. Actually, Jacob's graduation, you know, his good buddy of his gave the, you know, opening speech for the class president. And he talked a lot about how now life is about deciding for yourself, because
yeah.
he was just saying, like, we've been told what to do now for so long. And everyone said, this is exactly what you have to do. And if you do all those things, you'll succeed. And now right. we have no idea. I just thought right. that was interesting. I don't remember yeah. feeling that way. I
yeah.
feel like at our age, you know, only 20 years ago or however long, 22 for me, I just feel like there was a little more room to, oh no, I guess I was 18, 20 years ago. Ha. There was just a little more room to figure it out or something
yeah.
or for there to be all different kinds of ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So, but that could be yeah. partly just my interpretation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's also voting age. And did you turn 18 in a presidential election year? I think you did. Cause I'm 2 years younger than you. Right. So
that would have been,
let's just out our ages. 96. You would have turned 18.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that was Dole,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah,
Clinton Dole.
Yeah, yes.
Clinton, I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember getting really into. My dad was very into politics, and I probably
okay.
just voted,
rejected
the way
it.
Voted. No, I was.
Oh, did
no,
the same.
I was not an authority rejector at that point in my life. I was like an authority. Isn't that weird? Doesn't
yeah.
seem like me, does it? But I was not rebellious in that way. So I would have done whatever he did.
I just remember being kind of excited about the concept of voting, but I didn't, because of where the presidential elections fell, I didn't vote for president for at least a couple of years. Yeah, 2 years, I
right.
guess, 2000.
Yeah.
So. Interesting. Okay, I'm going back into the hat. Now we have three.
I do. Well, I have to interrupt really quick and say
yeah.
they were awesome. The year that it was Clinton Dole, there was some great SNL, which now I want
to. Oh, really?
Look up.
We should go back and watch.
Yeah. That was a good year politically for.
Yeah.
Campaign humor. I do recall that. Okay, go on.
It's interesting because this is not rigged, that the three ages we have left are 8, 10, and 12, which are like right
oh.
in the middle and
yeah.
vastly different, I think, probably. So let's see which comes up. Oh, I picked two. They were stuck together. Okay, 10. 10. Owen is 10, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Owen is 10. Gosh, 10. 10, I feel like, is the last... vestiges. I never know if I pronounce that word right. Is that right?
That's
vestiges?
How I say it in my head. Yeah.
It's the last vestiges of little kid.
Yeah.
I'm losing him. You know, like I'm losing the little guy.
Yeah.
Which makes me very sad. He's going into fifth grade next year.
Okay.
Or this year. I guess he's going into fifth grade in like a month and a half. He's still very sweet. He wants to snuggle. And I remember this being the case with all the kids so far. Still wants to come up and give me a hug. Sometimes still asks if he can sleep in my bedroom, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, we both know that's coming to an end. And
yeah.
he'll even say, you know, like, I don't know how much longer I'll want to do this kind of thing, Mom, you know? So yeah, it's like, he's very self-aware.
Yeah.
Just, he's a real sweetheart. I know at 10, some kids start to become real challenging. I
yeah.
do know that can become a thing. It's almost like it's that pre-adolescence and sometimes
yes.
8, 9, 10, pre-adolescence is worse than real adolescence.
Interesting.
But this is where it starts to really vary. I kind of feel like you can look at a three-year-old and go, yep, that's a three-year-old.
Right.
There's just things that carry through, even though they're all different. There's things that carry through. But by the time they get to like 10, their personality has come out
sure.
and formed, and it makes them so different from kid
right.
to kid. So I know,
right.
you know, 10-year-olds who act like little teenagers. And I know 10-year-olds who are still very babyish.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the boys tend to be a little more babyish and and love their moms a little more maybe.
Right.
But that's a generalization.
I remember fifth grade being very social, like with my friends and boys and girls hanging out together. Nothing crazy, but just the beginning of that. And I don't know how much things have changed, but I think I was pretty drama free in the earlier elementary school years. I don't think I had Clara's sensitivity, but fifth grade, I feel like, was groups of girls and all that kind of stuff. So maybe now it's all starts in preschool. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I remember that too, though.
Definitely tween, preteen, for sure.
You know, the other thing I really remember about 10 that I think maybe is probably more pronounced for girls is there became a very dramatically marked difference between girls who were developing and girls who weren't, and girls who were just more adult in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And that being really uncomfortable for me because, I was kind of clueless about it, I guess, to some degree. I was one of the little ones that didn't develop and nothing. I was, you know, basically my 10-year-old self looked like my 8-year-old self. And I became really aware of other girls kind of moving beyond me and being into boys and makeup and music. And I just was like, wanted to play with dolls. It was really uncomfortable. I remember desperately wanting to hang on to being a kid at that age and knowing it was kind of over. So depressing.
This is
and
so
you start to like, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this gives me so much kind of empathy for all the ages, you know, which I think is kind of a good thing to remember kind of what it was like for us and be like, oh man, like they're more than just sassy little, you know, people, short people living in my house. Like that's a lot to deal with.
I also really gravitated toward younger kids at that age because I think I still wanted to play a lot and did not gravitate toward older kids at all, really. And I was young for my grade, so I just basically only had like one friend in my class and mostly played with kids from other grades. But I will also say that I remember at that age kind of sometimes this was the age where you'd start to like go to a sleepover or over to a friend's house and you didn't play. Mm-hmm. You watched TV or you sat around. And I remember feeling like, well, now what am I going to do when I don't play anymore? Like what is this going to be so boring? And it was uncomfortable at that age because that was to me very boring. Like sitting around talking was boring. Just watching TV was boring. I wanted to be doing stuff and playing outside. And that was really uncomfortable for me too. So I have a lot of empathy for that whole age.
Yeah. So interesting. Oh, when will Owen be 11?
He'll be 11 in December.
Okay. So he's still solidly 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So still right in the middle there.
All right, I'm going in.
Going in.
12. This is also you. 12. Sorry, you have more kids than me. 12.
That's okay. It couldn't have kept going either or the whole – well, I guess it could have, but only if you'd rigged it perfectly, and apparently you made a mistake someplace along the way. So 12. All right, so 12 is a middle schooler. William will be going into 7th grade, and he's kind of on the other end because he'll turn 13 in October. So I would just say for William specifically, it's been a great year. He was in 6th grade, which I know is a big jump, but at least in our school district, and I think a lot of places that do middle school rather than junior high, do a good job of kind of easing the sixth graders in. Mm-hmm. So he was very much eased in. Like he's learning how to – he struggled a little bit with school. The expectations were different, like moving from class to class.
Yeah.
He's this kind of kid who always delivers exactly what's asked of him, but not – you know, not a drop more. He's like, if you ask me to do this, this is what I'll do.
Right.
So it's great because he always does what you ask, but he doesn't really innovate or, you know, take one for
above
the team.
And beyond.
Just above and beyond. I mean, and he's the most reliable kid. You know, that's just partly his personality. He's like the most reliable kid we have, but also like he's also just the most predictable one. Like we know exactly what to expect. Yeah. So I have to say this year was great. I mean, he struggled a little bit because of that, like not knowing six individual teachers and what they might actually be asking him when they seem to be asking for something, you know, maybe actually if he tried a little harder, he'd do better.
Right. Right.
Those grades were pretty average, but I tend to give middle school grades a big, like, I don't put a lot of emphasis on them because I mean, they're not going to follow through. It's more about learning how to be a student.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
At that age. He is really calm. He's still a kid, but like this was the year. So he's got his cousin, Jack is 11. His cousin Quinn is 10, and then Owen is 10.
Right.
And then they have another cousin who's around the same age, too. And there used to be, who's a girl, so they don't see her as, and she doesn't live here, so they don't see her as often. But that used to be, like, they were a pack of kids, like, running mm-hmm. together. And now I will say this year was the year William broke off.
Yeah.
From the pack. He will still play with them, but he doesn't want to stay over. He doesn't want to have the impromptu sleepovers anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, Owen and Jack could be together all week and never.
Right.
And never split up. It would be fine. But Williams wants his, to do his own stuff with older kids. He has developed, like, intense friendships with people, particularly one kid that they're just, like, inseparable. And I remember that at being 12. I remember that as well being the case mm-hmm. for me. Like, mm-hmm. having that one friend that you were just, you know,
yeah.
could
yeah.
not be separated. I don't know. You know, I used to say, like, kind of off the cuff, like, I didn't like middle schoolers. And I don't think that's actually true. I think I didn't like being a middle schooler.
Yeah.
So when I think about middle schoolers, I remember what I thought other kids were like.
Yeah.
At that age. But I really like him. He's just at this age, he's just easygoing. Hasn't really gotten an attitude yet. But again, I think that really varies. Not yeah. every 12-year-old's like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. What are your memories of being 12?
My one thing that stands out, so we didn't go to junior high till 7th grade. So I was 12 by the time I started 7th grade. One thing that just popped into my head is I think that's when I got really into dance, to ballet. I mean, I had taken it since I was a kid and then did soccer a little bit and piano. I think I quit piano probably around age 10 or 11. So I remember kind of having that extracurricular thing that was mine, which was probably yeah. a really good thing for me. Not every kid has that. And I don't think you need that. There's definitely value to dabbling. But I didn't dabble. By 12, I was probably dancing 4 days a week. And my studio wasn't uber competitive or nothing like now you hear about what's expected right. of kids. But still, it was probably like a philosophical commitment to me in my head that this is right. what I do. Like, after school, I do my homework and I go to dance. And so that, I feel like, really locked in and was probably a really good thing in junior high because I didn't have as much time to just socialize. I also think that age was a big separation between kids whose parents would let them do things and kids whose parents wouldn't. I mean, which is a preview of all the years to come. But I feel like 12 is when that seemed really apparent, maybe just because I was at a bigger junior high. But I remember a thing was to go to the high school football game with groups of friends. But we weren't high schoolers. We were in junior high. And, you know, things like that, that, like, you either were or weren't allowed to do. And I don't even remember specifically. But I do feel like more people broke the rules or talked about breaking the rules. So just kind of an induction into all of that.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of feel like at that age is the age where more kids would actually break rules. Like, I yes. remember, you know, kids who didn't do what their parents told them in my circle when I was like 8, 9, 10, those were like bad kids.
Right.
You know, everyone every now and then would be disobedient.
Right.
But you didn't want to be that kid. And then you kind of get to that 12 and it's like, well, you start to weigh the consequence, like the risk reward,
right.
you
right.
know,
right.
I could get away with this or what would happen if I got caught. Yeah. I remember that starting to be the case there as well. So one thing I think we can't underestimate that's just popped into my head, you know, talking about all these different ages is social media and how big of a large of a presence that is.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up because
age range.
Elephant in the room.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, like, I will say my older kids, I don't know if this is just because they're strange or because it's not a thing for boys their age, or maybe they're just like on the cusp of that age where it became really important. I don't know. It could be just that they're strange. But William is, you know, he wants to be an Instagram star. Like, he doesn't just want to have, he's really concerned with followers. Like, he's, uh-huh. they make videos, but it's not just about making the video for fun. It's about who's going to like it, who's going to yeah. see it. And I think that's becoming more and more of a thing. I'm seeing it trickle down. Like, Clara
yeah.
wanted to make a YouTube channel, but she was obsessed with, like, who would comment and who would like it. And she didn't want to do anything that was weird that people wouldn't like. And I mean, it was kind of sad because I remember spending so much time making up little plays and taking pictures and recording. Remember, like, having the
yes.
tape recorder
oh, yeah.
and just recording yourself talk. And that's kind of basically what kids are doing on YouTube now. The difference is now they expect to have a fan base.
Yeah.
And there's some, so there's something a little off about that. I haven't I haven't personally experienced any bullying or any of that.
Like the feedback is right there, good and bad.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We haven't had any problems in our house. You know, Jake and Isaac just text and they'll have their phones. They'll lose their phones for days at a time. They're very not attached to that stuff, which I've been grateful for. And William so far is the kind of kid, he's just very easygoing. Like, no, he hasn't really run into any problems. It's not like he's starting drama or anything like that.
Right.
But I could see it at some point becoming a thing. And yeah, I'm not prepared for that because I'm not, you know, I'm not thinking that way. I'm not really in that world enough.
Yeah.
We've talked about Snapchat, I think. Yeah. I mean, I got on it for a day and like could not figure it out.
No.
Like my brain just couldn't handle it.
I haven't even tried.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, by the time we even talk, Snapchat's going to be dead in a month because all the moms got on.
Right,
so
exactly.
All the kids are gonna, moms and the marketers,
the brands.
Yeah, exactly. Moms and the marketers, so all the kids are going to go someplace else. And I will say, I mean, not that the show is not about giving advice, but I do think sometimes there's almost like a misguided idea that if we just know the technology, if we just know the programs and watch those and monitor those, then we've got it in the bag. And I think there that's maybe like a detail. And I'm not saying you shouldn't understand those programs and know what's going on in them, but like, you also got to know your kid. And you got to... Your kid has to know that, have some sense of, you know, right and wrong, and also know that they can talk to you if stuff is getting scary or weird. There just has to be those boundaries, or like, because whatever is not okay on Snapchat also is not okay on Facebook, is also not okay on Twitter, it's also not okay on
Instagram.
Yeah, and
also probably not okay in life in terms of like...
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Criticizing others, bullying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I think it's more like the basic... I don't want to use the word morality. That's very heavy. But just like the basic understanding of how you treat people kind of is cross-platform. And also what to do if you are not being treated well should be the same cross-platform. So I don't know. I know this is controversial. I don't really get super caught up in knowing the platform du jour and having like software to, you know, help me monitor it. And I don't watch tutorials on how to be a parent whose kids use social media. I mean, I'm just... I don't know. I'm not hands off. In some ways, it makes me hands off. In other ways, I think I just come from a different.
Yeah, maybe a more big picture.
Come at it a big picture. Exactly.
There's a, you know, the writer Galit Breen. I don't know if I'm saying her first name right. She's written a bunch of essays. I think you probably know her work, but she has a book called Kindness Wins about online behavior with kids and learning, teaching kids to be kind online. It's sort of on my like. Read this before it's too late. But I have not read the book, but I think it also comes from a much more sort of like foundational place too, and not just the like technical side of how to police it and, you know, monitor. So, I don't know. That's on my list.
Well, we've talked about it before, like, and you know, again, not to go on too long about this, but we've talked before about how kids will find a way to do stuff that's against your house rules. And the best we can do is just hope that the people they are in under your roof is the people they are under other roofs, even if the house rules are different.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Yep. Oh,
so
all right.
I guess there's not much of a, not much fanfare. It's the last one, right?
No. Well, this is the last one. I'm about to pull out the last one is 8.
Yeah.
8 is my oldest. So Allegra's 8, almost 8.5, I guess, or she's right in the middle of 8. And 8, I think you said it right at the beginning. So we unintentionally came full circle when you talked about 7, but 8 is for sure to me, big kid territory. Everything from looks, like just looking, no more like baby face, long legs and like full mouth of teeth. You know, they've still got teeth to lose, but once those front ones look like an adult, really like, starting to be really Allegra's always liked adults and sort of liked to talk to adults and more at ease around adults even than peers, but really now like very natural at talking to adults, talking about different topics, just a maturity level. I notice for sure her wanting to play with, she's always been happy to play with younger kids, her siblings, and she still likes that. She likes to like play school with them or whatever, but the needing like peer, especially now we're recording this in summer, like needing peer interaction and looking up to older kids and kind of wanting that more vibrant social life and be around kids her own age. this is probably more of just a her thing, but she was such a cautious toddler and preschooler, physically cautious, that she was pretty late to ride a bike and late to, you know, be really monkey bars and just be really physical. I would say a big leap. We didn't talk about 5-year-olds because none of us have one right now, but 5 was another big maturity leap for her, especially with those physical gross motor tasks. But 8 is another one. Like she's like on rollerblades. She's swimming this year, and she's like can swim for 45 minutes straight and not be complaining, or just so she's physically stronger and, you know, more, I think, active in that way. And that is, again, probably like a maturity thing catching up, because she wasn't the most, you know, athletic. She's going to try softball this fall. So she's never done a team sport, and she's seen Reed do Little League the last 2 years. And I think she'll actually really like softball. She follows the game of baseball because we're baseball fans. So she understands the game, and she's tall and she's big for her age, but because she wasn't because she was more cautious, she was never particularly athletic until now. So now it's going to be kind of fun to see her come into that like physical sense and play on a team. And I don't know, I'm liking 8 for the most part. I do feel like there's a window ahead into like, I can do things completely by myself, and not only can I do them by myself, but I don't even agree with you. You know, she's been a very easygoing and pleasant kid. So even when I say that, it's like little glimpses, but definitely, you know, and this is another total small detail, but I've always loved doing my girls' hair because I love to braid and do ponytails. And I loved to do that when I was a kid. I would braid my friend's hair. Well, she does not want me doing her hair. She doesn't want me to brush it. She doesn't want me to. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gone. She's got this great hair. I can, you know, I'd love to braid it. And like, okay, that's
Claire's
probably
never
gone
let me do her
pretty
hair,
much so forever. I know some kids, and Violet doesn't really ever want me to. So I'm out of luck. If anyone's daughter needs their hair braided, I volunteer.
You know, I want to address the thing you said about like the motor skills and the athleticism and stuff. I think sometimes we have this idea. I remember getting really frustrated with all of my kids because none of them really learned how to ride a bike till they were 8. And then I started to realize all of them were learning how at 8 and learning really well. So I think sometimes when I look back at my childhood, I'm a little off on the timing, because I was thinking, oh, I had a bike. I was riding my bike at, you know, 7, 8, 6. That's actually not true. My parents gave me a bike that was too big for me that they got at a garage sale. I remember this when I was 6, but I couldn't actually ride it until I was 8. And I taught myself how to ride it when I was 8. So it's kind of like sometimes I think we look back or we look to the kids who are more naturally athletic, and then that's where the bar gets set, or we misremember our own childhoods. So 8 was a big year for riding bikes. 8 has been a big year for reading for all of my kids. Yeah. 8 was like when they started to read for fun. They started reading more interesting, longer books. And that was true for me. Even though I was reading at 3, I didn't really get into reading until I was 8. Yep. So I don't know, across the board. And I also agree with what you said about her. You've seen those glimmers of her like wanting to have her own opinion about stuff. I kind of feel like 8 or maybe 9 is kind of like the next 3, where they're like, hey, I want to have some agency here. I want to have some say in how this goes. So
totally.
I mean, they're all generalizations because every kid does do their own thing at their own age, but, you know.
Well, I think, I mean, it is all generalizations, but I think this was fun, if only for the purpose of like spotlighting 8 different years. It's made me feel for the kids a little bit, like a good reminder that it's, you know, it's kind of hard to be a kid sometimes every age.
It is. Yep. And there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of adults with their own baggage or ideas about what an age should look like. So maybe if we had to wrap it up with a piece of advice, it would be try to remember back accurately. I know that's something difficult for me to do. You know, like I tend to assume sometimes like I was doing this, and you know, it's that whole I was walking uphill through snow 2 miles both ways or whatever.
Both ways. And it just like when your kid is potty training and you think they are literally never going to get this, and then 6 months later, you're like, that was not a big deal. Like, and it's kind of the same at every age. So whatever you're going through that feels like a developmental stage out of, you know, where, you know, it will be something else next time. But it's amazing how they can mature in 6 months and, you know, let go of anxieties or fears or attitude problems and kind of move into the next phase. It's what they're hardwired to do that. So a lot of times I think we can just get out of the way, honestly.
Love that. And I also will say that I remember hearing from people, you know, several different moms at some point when my kids were like half grown, like I was halfway in between new and where I am now, that she noticed the kids becoming more challenging in the second half of whatever year they were in. And I really thought about it. And that's not always true, but that's held true a lot of the time. It's almost like they can tell they're coming up at a different stage. So yeah, just another thing to keep in mind. I don't know, for your, just pay attention for a little while and see if that holds true for you.
Interesting. All right. Well, we will wrap up and check out themomhour.com for, I don't even know, a picture of the hat. Go to themomhour.com where I will post a picture of
maybe
the hat.
Maybe you can round up some pictures of our kids and put them in there, but you've probably already used them.
Yeah. Go there anyway, people. Sign up. Subscribe if you haven't. Sign up to get emails from us if you haven't. And we will talk to everybody next week.
See ya.
Hey everyone, it's Sarah here again, and I am here with my daughter Allegra, who is 8. Hi Allegra.
Hi Mom.
So we thought it would be kind of fun if we did the hat trick that Megan and I just did, but did it with Allegra. And so I'm going to pull these ages out of a hat, and Allegra's going to tell you from an 8-year-old perspective what she thinks about these ages. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. The first one is 10. What do you think about 10-year-olds?
I think that when I'm 10, I would like to get a pet bunny. I think it would be really nice because I'd get to go to a higher grade level.
Cool. All right, next one. 12.
I don't really know what 12 would be like, but I hope that I have a lot more responsibilities.
Okay, good. 16. What happens at 16, do you think?
I think that when I'm 16, it would be very exciting when I pass my driving test.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. You think you'll get a car?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay, 7. Do you remember being 7?
Yes, I do remember being 7. And it was very fun because my brother was 5, and it was fun to see what he could do.
That's nice. Do you remember when you got to meet Clara last summer? Clara's 7 now.
Yes, I remember Clara.
She's 7 now. Okay, 3. What do you know about 3?
3 can be a very hard age because my sister is 3 and she cries a lot. Not that much, though.
She's getting better. 18. What happens at 18?
When I'm 18, I will become a grown-up.
And then what happens?
And maybe I can get a job.
All right, let's do it. And last one. No, 2 more. 8.
I am 8, and it's very fun.
I think you're awesome at 8. I told everyone who listens to the podcast that you're awesome at 8. And what about 6?
6 is a hard age, I think, because you have a lot more responsibilities than you did when you were 5.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, thanks, Allegra, for being on the show.
You're welcome, Mom.